Hallelujah. Good to see all of you here today. I know a lot of people are on vacation. And so, Lord, we just send out an anointing to all those that are traveling. Impart to them, God, for distance really is nothing for you. Amen? Okay. I tell you, there are a lot of things in the world that are a shame. For instance, it's a shame that parallel lines will never meet. They have so much in common. That's from my brother. I'm giving him all the blame. I mean, all the glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. We sense your presence here already. And just continue to speak to us, Lord. We really need to hear from you. We need to, more than just words that are on this page, Lord, we need you to jump off this page and jump into our spirit and speak to us, God, something that is profoundly important for today and for this time in our lives. And we trust you for that, and we thank you in Jesus' name. I'm gonna begin by reading a scripture from Romans 13. Let me read it to you first, and then I'm reading it in the Message, which is the language of the peoples. But make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all of your day-to-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting a finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute, and we must not squander those precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence and sleeping around and dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. That is, it's up there. No, it's not. It's Romans 13, 11 through 14. Do we have the scriptures today, guys? Yeah, I did. I sent them to Johnny. Okay. I'll make sure I give you all the scriptures. That's Romans 13, 11 through 14. You could read it in the regular scripture, but I like this Message because it really speaks to something that, you know, I feel God is saying to us. It's so easy to fall into a pattern, especially for those of us who have been Christians for a while, and that's just about everybody here. We can fall into a pattern and think that we're absolutely hearing from the Lord, and we're actually missing it because what we're hearing is the echo from the past. You know? So anyway, it's just to put on Christ. Put on Christ. I have to totally admit something to you. For the longest time, I didn't know how to dress myself in Christ. I didn't even understand really what that meant. You know, the King James Version says to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. I had a concept, an idea. But I think the Lord gave me some insight, and I want to share it with you. Because dressing ourselves in the Lord is not a metaphor. There's a literal putting on of the person of Jesus Christ that we have the ability to do because we've become born-again believers, and the Holy Spirit actually gives us this ability, and it can really help us. Because the results of it will impact not only our lives, but the atmosphere in everywhere that we go. And when it affects our atmosphere, that's the air that you breathe and the people that you're around, and everywhere you go, you actually change the reality of the earth. And isn't that what we're really called to do, to be co-creators with the Lord? We're called to change the atmosphere with the Lord, with his help, with him, co-creating the reality that we and others live. Now, that would be pretty good, because most people are walking around really feeling defeated, don't you think? Yes. I mean, but there's a lot of hopelessness in this world. You know, I don't know if that includes you guys, but I feel that way too sometimes, and I just feel like so overwhelmed. But I thank God he's given me the tools I have to stop, I have to step back into the glory, I have to employ the tools that God has given me, and I have to believe. And I have to believe something that I don't see. Because what I see is telling me the opposite. Last week I told you about the story of Charles Finney. He was an evangelist, a very man full of God. And I don't know if you remember, and that wasn't this, a couple of weeks ago, because I was on sabbatical. But if you remember, he walked into a factory and everybody, he didn't say a word in the factory, and everybody just fell down, started repenting. Can you imagine that scene? That would be really something. Can you imagine if you walked into Walmart and everybody just started falling down and just repenting to God and crying out to God? Wouldn't that be something? Now that literally happened. Well, there's another story of Charles Finney, which really goes more along with what I was want to speak to you today about, which is, you know, this dressing ourselves in Christ. He's on a train. And the train is you know, just a regular train. Massapequa, Massapequa Park, Lindenhurst, you know. He's going down. And every town he goes through, revival breaks out. He doesn't even get off the train. It's not now that he doesn't say anything. He doesn't even get off the train. Why? Why can that happen? Well, because Charles Finney was a holy man. And by holy, I don't mean that he had, you know, just the outward accoutrements of holiness. He carried a level of the presence of God that changed the reality of the atmosphere that he passed through. Isn't that something? He was dressed in Christ. He was carrying the Christ, the substance, the garment of Christ, the substance of heaven on him. Now, I'm not telling you these stories to amaze you. You know, this is not like a magic show or to awe you into thinking, wow, there are really great people and I'll never get there. I'm telling you these stories to know that there are realities that we can become awake to. And these realities are not just for other people. They're for every born-again believer. That's why it's much more important, and I've made a distinction. I know I messed with a few people's theologies, but I believe this. I think there's a distinction between those who confess Christ and those who are born again. When we're filled with the Spirit, I've said it before, when we become... we confess Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us, right? That's part of the deal. We get that presence of God. But when he's on us, when the Holy Spirit lands on us, it's a totally different thing. And the only way that he can land on us is that we become open to receiving him and being very conscious in all the things that we do from that point on of him on us. And so he doesn't go away. If we become awake to that, we can do as Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, for your light has come. Arise and shine. Awaken, shine, so that you can understand the glory that God has to share with you. Now you might say, well, Pastor Roy, the Word of God says that God will share his no glory with another. Right? But I'm here to tell you this morning that you're not another. You're his body. I'm his body. I'm saying this to you today because, and I appreciate what Elizabeth said before, nothing can be done from the heavenly realm unless it is first declared. And so that's why it's important. Your prayers need to be more than thoughts. Your prayers need to be spoken in a declaration, in faith, and speaking the things that are unseen as if they were. Trusting that God is going to release the grace because you've spoken it in his timing and because it's also in line with his word. This has been true about declarations, been true since Israel. You know, Israel had the prophets who declared things of God, and right up until the present time, I think that there are still prophets today. Yes. Don't have the office of prophet, maybe, or maybe we don't recognize them in the same way, but they have prophetic anointings that speak forth the declarations of God that need to be spoken before they come to pass here on the earth. We saw the prophets. We saw how even when Jesus was born, there's this prophetic proclamation, and then he sent angels on top of it just to seal the deal. And then on the flip side of that, John 16, Jesus says this. He says, I still have many things to say to you. In other words, I have many things to declare to you, but you can't yet bear them. When you can't bear something means that you don't have the capacity to handle the weight of what's going to be released. Jesus was saying at the time, I got a lot of stuff to declare about the kingdom, but you don't have the equipment just yet to carry the weight of what I'm going to declare over you. I want to release something. I want to release something, but I can't release it yet because what I want to release is going to crush you. But don't worry, I'm going to go back to my Father and send you the Holy Spirit who will guide you and teach you and show you and bring you to a place where you will be able to bear it. And he will lead you into all truth. Amen. Amen. Didn't he say that? So he set us on a path to learn how to develop this capacity to carry the weightiness of what God is saying and doing. And that's what you're experiencing in your life. Because the theater in which that gets played out on, the stage, that the things of God, which get declared by God and his prophets, the theater in which that gets played out on is your life. So don't get freaked out when you start seeing things that are going negatively, maybe, or too much to bear. Know that that is God releasing something to you in a process in which you will learn to bear the weight of what he's releasing. And not just for yourself. So that you can take that release and then re-release it into the atmosphere to change the realm and the reality of other people. We're talking about something that's not, this is not for beginning Christians. I mean, you have to understand that what God is calling you to do is the actual function that the church is supposed to have. The church function is not about Bible studies, ultimately. It's not about, although these are all wonderful, having, you know, VBS and all this other kind of stuff. This is the way that we learn. Our children learn the principles of God through this. They learn to trust God in the worship, in the study of the Word, in the principles of the Word. But that's not the ultimate function of the church. The ultimate function of the church is to bring the reality of Christ into a world that is dark. I believe that he's been doing this here at RCF, and he wants to continue to do it. But we have to become awake to it. We have to become awake. We have to forget about all the things that we've learned to this point and put them on the back burner. I'm not saying throwing them away. I said just put them on the back burner and let God reteach us the things that we need to know. We need to step back into his Spirit. Step back into his glory and quiet ourselves. We must be like John the Baptist, who said, I must decrease so that he would increase. We have to decrease in our understanding, in our opinions, even in our actions. And let the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, lead us into all truth, just as Jesus said he would. Because it's in that leading that he teaches us to carry the glory that he wants to release over the church and ultimately over the world. I want you to do a little exercise right now. I want you to look at your hands. Just look at your hands. Now I want you to look at your hands and see them as part of His body. Look at your hands and see them as part of Jesus' body. Something that is He's going to use to do whatever He wants to do. And now I want to, in light of that, I want to read something. I want to read Habakkuk 3:3 to you. Listen to what this says. His glory covers the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. We gave Him praise this morning, and we give Him glory this morning, didn't we? His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from His hands, and there was the hidden power of heaven. Look at your hands. In these hands, the body of Christ's hands, rays flesh. The hidden power of heaven is in these hands. Okay, well, why don't we see Him? Well, it's hidden. It's a hidden power of heaven. God is wanting to release vision to be able to see. So that when you see, you'll use them in the way that He wants you to use them. And I believe that it's not an exclusive thing. It's not an exclusive to RCF. Every born-again believer, anybody who really is embracing the Lord at a totally different level, you know, wanting the Lord for the Lord, not for all the other stuff that comes along with it. Everyone is a dispenser of that heavenly realm. We have the capacity to do it. God has called us to do it. And we'll do it through our speech, certainly, by the declaration, what I was talking about before, but also through our actions. God is going to call us to do particular things. And look, faith without works is dead, right? But it's not, so many people have misinterpreted that, and they just end up just doing works. They forget about the faith part. See, it's not works that we're called to do. We're called to move in faith, and then through that faith, do the things that we hear the Lord say in faith. Because many times what He's going to call us to do is impossible. Impossible to do. And I believe that we're supposed to affect our circumstances, not the other way around. See, right now, we're a church. We love God. We believe in Jesus Christ. We sing the songs. We do the whole thing. But can anybody really be honest, can anybody really say that they totally affect their circumstances and their circumstances never affect them? I mean, I don't think that if God bless you if that's you, but I think we've got that convoluted just for right now. And it's not supposed to be that way. We're supposed to affect the circumstances. When Jesus went anywhere, He affected the circumstances, didn't He? We're His body. Now listen, that's not going to be because we're smart or because we're gifted. You know, we can sing the hallelujah songs or we can give a discussion about theology. It's only going to be because we've learned to give honor and place to the person of the Holy Spirit, who is still that dove that's sitting on our shoulder, looking for people to land on, people who are not going to scare them away. You remember that analogy, right? About the dove landing on, when Jesus came out of the water, the dove landed on His shoulder. That dove never left Him. That Holy Spirit never left Him. And so if we're the body of Christ, we need to see ourselves as the same. If the dove lands on us and we're aware of it and our intention is that dove will never leave us, everything, every action we make from that point on is going to be with respect to keeping that dove on our shoulder. We're going to weigh everything. We're going to consult with the Lord and everything. Can you imagine what it would be like to walk into a house that may be in turmoil, focused on the dove that's on your shoulder, And have the Holy Spirit bring His peace to that house. I mean, wouldn't that just be awesome? And it's His peace, because you know the kingdom peace is different than the peace of the world, right? Peace of the world has to do with something being subtracted. Conflict, war, noise. That's the peace of the world. The kingdom peace is an addition of something. It's an addition of the presence of the one who is peace. Amen. And it's the Prince of Peace that crushes Satan and all of his works underneath our feet. That's because the Prince of Peace is a person. Peace is the presence of God. And it's the presence of God that destroys the works of the enemy. Amen? Nobody? Okay. 1 John 3:8 says this, for this purpose, what purpose?
That's right.
What did I just say? Prince of Peace destroys the works of the enemy, right? 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So I'm not just pulling this out of the hat. This is in the world, in the Word. Not in the world yet, but it's in the Word. And every person that's here today, that's hearing what I'm saying today, is called to disperse that reality wherever you go. I believe that. I'm declaring that over you, actually.
Amen. I'm receiving that.
We're called to bring the presence of God with us. All right, so how is this ability developed anyway, you know, to bring the presence of God? I had a couple of thoughts, so let me give them to you. Well, first of all, it's beyond what we can do in the natural, right? So we've been given the power to become a witness unto Jesus Christ. Remember when they received the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit there at Pentecost? What does it say? He'll give you the power to become a witness unto me. Not a witness for him, not a witness about him, a witness unto him, which is different. Just as, and I've said it before, Jesus was a witness unto the Father. When they said, show me the Father, he said, if you see me, you see the Father. Well, guess what, gang? It's supposed to be, he gave us the power to be a witness unto him, which means that we are in a place where he is expecting that his church will look like him, so that when people see the church, they will see him. How do you do that? Well, you can't do it in your own strength. You do it through the power, the fire, the passion of the Holy Spirit, the dove that's sitting on your shoulder, to become a witness unto Jesus. So that's number one, understanding that. You can't do it. It doesn't matter how many good works you do, how much songs you sing. It doesn't matter what you do. What your ministry is makes no difference. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you do not have the power to look like Jesus. Amen. You have the power that your gift has, or the power of your intelligence, or whatever, which can go a long way, but nobody gets transformed by those, Amen. By those gifts. Transformational power comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. We all on the same page? Excuse me. All right, so our part then is yielding to that Spirit and letting the gifts that God has given us unfold, letting the Spirit set on fire. I want to be a soul on fire. Well, my soul contains the gifts that I have. I want to be a soul on fire. Set on fire, Lord, with your Spirit, those gifts. I yield to you. Set on fire those things that you've given me. It's his breath in our lungs. We can't even breathe without him. It's becoming awakened to these truths. So we yield. It's like saying, okay, God, I'm getting this. And you know what? I give you the rest of my life to teach me about this. Because that's what it's going to take. The rest of your life. So don't set any, I'll do it till, Christmas. And then I expect to have the whole thing. The rest of my life, Lord, I'm getting out of the way, Lord. I'm giving you permission And if you got to give me a little push along the way, fine. Got to give me a little pinch. Imagine the Lord giving you a little pinch in your coolie. Ooh, a little spiritual pinch. But I give you that permission, God. Let all my being, Lord, this needs to be my prayer. Let all my being, my spirit, my soul, and my body become awakened to your presence. And if you got to pinch me, pinch me. He's not above it. Let me just tell you something. God is not above any of your religious paradigms. He will do whatever it takes to get your attention. All right, so I said before, nothing happens in the kingdom. Nothing gets released from the kingdom unless it's first declared, right? All right, so how about we declare something here today?
Yeah.
All right? I want to declare, I want you to say with me, I'll tell you what it is and then we'll say it all together. God, awaken all my being to your presence. God, awaken all my being to your presence. Now, do you mean it?
Yes.
Okay, if you mean it, he will. Because if we awaken to realize that the Spirit of God is resting on us, our whole focus of life changes. Now, with this focus, the things that seemed impossible, the things that seemed confusing, the things that seemed, intimidating, won't be so intimidating anymore. Why? That the Spirit of God is right here. I become aware of the one who is much greater. We sang it today. Greater. Great are you, Lord. Amen. Bigger than all my problems. Bigger than... Old school. Why? Because the big gun is with me. The big gun is with me. So, okay, so now I know the big gun is with me, the dove is on my shoulder. Now the things that would unsettle me, circumstances come, I go about my life, I get a phone call, I'm here, I'm there, whatever. And the things that would unsettle me or seem threatening to me, I step back. I don't face them. I step back and I go, hey, big gun, what do I do? I don't mean, I don't mean to be irreverent, but hey, that's just me. What can I tell you? So, see, what I'm doing, though, when I do that is, seriously, is I'm becoming intentional. And I need to be intentional in order to maintain that awareness of the Spirit that's on me. Because everything from the dark side, they're throwing all their big guns to steal that away from me, to block that reality from me. Do you understand? We're in a war. Whether you want to be or not, you are in a war, and the war is for your soul, and it works through your mind. So, I need to be aware of the Spirit of God that's on me, and I'm not talking about theoretically. I'm not even talking about theologically. I'm talking about literally on me. The Spirit of God is literally on me. He's in me because I've confessed Christ, but he's on me because I've welcomed him and I've yielded. Now, the reason I keep using this word intentional is because it takes a decisive action on our parts to not believe all the junk that we're hearing that doesn't come from the throne of God. And that's why as we put on that armor of God, we need to, when we put on that helmet of salvation, a good thing to do, I mean, look, I don't want to make a rule hard and fast about it, but a good thing to do is to say, Lord, everything that is not derivative from your throne, every word, every high thing, that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, I cast down in Jesus' name. There's power in that word. That's a declaration of the truth of God and the power of God. And an intentionality on our part that we are not going to allow the influence of darkness and doubt to even get a foothold in our minds. The helmet of salvation is for that purpose. It's to keep our thoughts in line with the thoughts, the divine thoughts of God and the truth of God. So that we can stay literally connected to the truth that He is on me, with me. And I don't want to hear all this other junk. I just toss it out. And I'll tell you why. Because if you listen, even a little bit, to this voice of the accuser, the voice of darkness, the voice of doubt, anything that does not exalt God and does not come from His throne, anything, the moment that you listen to it, that problem gets bigger than God and bigger than God's presence on you. And you know what happens then? It obtains your honor. You honor it. It becomes an idol, not in the sense that we understand it, but it becomes something that gets illuminated and lifted above your belief that God is greater. And when that happens, you will yield to that thing, because we yield to the thing we honor. And we will, if we honor this thing as bigger than God, we will yield to that as being bigger than God. So what do we got to do? In this world we'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I will overcome the world. We have to yank ourselves back.
Right.
We have to say, no! No! I hear what you're saying. No!
Right.
I rebuke that. In Jesus' name,
amen.
I will listen only to those words, those influences that come from the throne of God, and anything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, I just rebuke and cast down. And you have the power to do that because of the Holy Spirit in you.
Yes.
Yank yourself back. Church, you cannot afford to be impressed by the devil. I'm talking about, you can't be impressed in him in any way. Not in his purposes, not in his history, not in the illusions that he shows you. And he's good at it. He's the master illusionist, isn't he? If it unsettles your spirit, you need to rebuke it. You need to step back into the Spirit of God and wait until you get a direction from the Holy One, who is ever faithful and will speak to you. No temptation has come upon you that's not common to man. That with it, God will not make an avenue of escape. Isn't that true? If it doesn't sound right, if it unsettles you, you can identify it as not from God but from the enemy and not allow yourself to be moved by it. Because if you do, even if you like get all your ire up and you start rebuking the devil and your own soul and all of that, you're acting defensively. And when you act defensively, when you act defensively to an error, a lie to the liar, that reacting to that error causes and creates further error. See, it's only by responding to the truth that I can make myself healed and make myself help, keep myself healthy. And so this is what I encourage you to do. All right, you ready? Develop a relationship with the Spirit of God that's personal and doesn't have anything to do with your ministry, whatever that might be. You know why? Because it's too easy to identify your relationship with the Spirit to what you do. It then becomes more about doing than being. See, you got to develop this relationship with Christ that has nothing to do with your performance. Doesn't mean that you won't do works or that you won't perform. But your relationship with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus Christ has to be beyond what your performance is. Like, in other words, my relationship with Jesus and the workings of the Holy Spirit have nothing to do really with me being pastor. That's something he asked me to do, and I said, okay, I have no idea how to do it, and he teaches me along the way. But he asked me to do it because I have a relationship with him. Try to develop a quiet place that's just for God, just for you and God. And if you can't quiet your mind, I told you a while back, the Lord told me, hear my voice in the song of the birds. And acknowledge the Lord there. But a good thing to do is when you go into that quiet place, imagine, use your imagination, that's okay. Use your imagination that the dove is actually coming to rest on you. And that you've created this place so specifically so that the dove can come and rest and that you can get used to the dove being on you. The second thing is to go all in. Go all in specifically to be like Jesus and specifically like him in the relationship that he had with the Father. Jesus and the Father were one, right? Didn't he say that? I and my Father are one. So we're going all into that. Lord, I want to develop the same relationship with the Father that you had with the Father. And then he went through that whole discourse. He praying to the Father, Father, as we're one, they're one with me, and I'm one with you, I'm one with them, and let them be one as you, with you, and I are one. So, again, I'm not pulling this out of the hat, I'm pulling it out of the scripture. Now, look, I know that this might seem hard and maybe a little foreign, but I want to end up with a scripture that I think will encourage you. It's from the Old Testament. It's Judges 6, and it speaks about Gideon. Now, I know that most of you are familiar with the story of Gideon. Gideon lived at a time in Israel when Israel was under attack by the Midianites and the Amalekites, who were enemies. The Amalekites were sons of Ammon, who, that's that whole perversion thing. Anyway, whatever, that's another teaching for another time. But anyway, they're under attack. What would happen is, microphone would come off. What would happen was Israel would plant and, you know, they'd grow the crops and all that. They'd grow animals and all that. And then suddenly bands of Midianites would just come in and wreak havoc in the place. Take all the food, burn all the crops, kill the animals, take the animals. And it was like crazy. So it opens up this portion of scripture that I want to speak to you about. Is Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press. I don't know if you know how they used to thresh wheat, but the threshing floor was like this huge, I wouldn't say a football field, but it was like a big open field. And what they would do is they put all the wheat in the middle, get like a pitchfork and throw it up into the air, and the wind would blow and would separate the chaff from the actual wheat, because the wheat was heavier. So here he is trying to do this in a wine press. Think of how ridiculous this is. And because he was afraid that the Midianites were going to come in and steal the stuff, you know? So as he's doing this, an angel of the Lord shows up. And he declares something over Gideon. You remember what he said? Hello, mighty man of valor. Which part of the script did he not read? I'm doing this in a wine press. Where's my valor? Yeah. And he protests, and Gideon protests. Well, you know, I'm the least of my clan, and blah, 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 blah. You know, everything that we would say if we were faced with an angel. But why did the angel say that? Because did you ever think of that? I know you've read it. The angel was speaking to his potential. The angel was releasing from heaven a declaration as to what he would become. And sure enough, he became that, didn't he? Mighty man of valor. Then he tells him to do the supernatural. Do this incredible thing. And then he says to him, go and do it in this might of yours. He doesn't even say, I'm going to give you chariots of fire and all this. Go and do it in what you got. What? What do you mean? Yeah. I'm just threshing wheat. What kind of might do I have? So anyway, all this to say, he asked God for a sign, which is okay. You could ask God for a sign. And the sign was, take some meat and, and unleavened bread and put it on a rock. And so what happened was it got consumed by the fire. The passion of God consumed the offering. When you come and you sing the songs, these are your offerings. Sing them with passion and God will consume them. Doesn't matter if you sing in key. Sing it with all you got. And God will receive it. So later on in verse 28, 29, Gideon gets into trouble. Why? Because he's moving out in faith now. So he goes and he takes down the altar of Baal, who was a god, small g, to the Midianites and the Amalekites. And now they're coming after him to get him. They want to do him in. And it didn't look so good, right? Put yourself in that place. You acted out on what you thought God told you to do, and now the walls are closing in on you. But verse 34 says something very interesting, and this is what I want to speak to you about. Verse 34 says, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. See, back then, the Holy Spirit didn't live in people, right? Because Christ had not yet come and did his thing and then left and sent the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit would come and land on people, but then leave. The Holy Spirit came and landed on Gideon. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Do you want to hear the literal translation of that line? This totally blew my mind. I'm assuming this is from the Amplified, so I'm assuming that's the literal translation. It says this. All the trouble is coming. The Midianites are coming to get him. He steps back into the Lord, into the glory. The Spirit of the Lord comes, and it says, but the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with himself and took possession of him. The Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with himself. He didn't have to put Christ on. Christ put himself on him and took possession of him. He put him on like a glove. That's our God. That's our God. And what it did, all it took was Gideon to just get beyond what he believed about himself and to receive the declared word of the Lord over him, to start moving out on it. And when things started to get bad, I'm sure he was panicking, but he waited on the Lord. And the Lord came and put himself on Gideon as if Gideon was a hand and he was the glove. And from that hand, rays came, the hidden power of heaven emanated. Then it says, that same verse, it says, after this happened, the Spirit of the Lord puts Gideon on. It says, he blew a trumpet, and the clan of Ebezer was gathered to him. Now, most of you know that a trumpet has several prophetic meanings. One of them, though, is the trumpet was blown when war was about to happen, right? Do you know what Ebezer means, though? The clan of it, he blew a trumpet, and the clan of the clan of Abiezer came to him. This is amazing. You know what this means? Abiezer means the father of help. He blew the trumpet of war, and the clan of the father of help came to and gathered around him. Could this be the legion of angels that maybe Jesus was referring to? I mean, I know it was literally a clan of Abiezer, but when we speak prophetically about what God is doing for his church today, isn't that amazing? God clothes Gideon with himself, blows the trumpet for war, and then the clan of the Father of Helps gathers to his aid. And I'm saying this today, let's be like Gideon. Let's be open to receive a word declared by God. Receive his peace, which Gideon did. Because I didn't read that, but that's part of that scripture too. So peace be with you, the angel said to him. And when the appointed time arises, we have to believe that God will clothe us with himself and take possession of our actions also. Can you receive that? Rudy, I'm going to ask Rudy to blow the trumpet of war. And we're going to believe that the clan of Abiezer is going to gather to us because we believe. Amen? Would you receive it? Would you all stand up? Please. Blow the trumpet. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We receive, God. We receive, Lord, that you will clothe us with yourself. And you will take possession of our actions. We thank you, God. We release ourselves. We yield to you, God. We thank you, Lord. And that when that trumpet is blown, the legions of angels will be called upon and released from heaven to help us perform what would otherwise be impossible for us to do. Yes. So I want to make another declaration right now, okay? I declare that we will be the people of the presence of whom God clothes himself with. Amen. Blow the trumpet again, Rudy. Hallelujah! Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Awaken us. I also declare from this point on that the Father of Helps will release the angels, the legions of angels, to help you when you call upon them at the appointed time. Amen.
Amen.
I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. That's